I'm hanging out with Telegenetic today. This is what they sound like, and it's good. Guys, lucky. I'm hanging out at the Kill Radio studio. You're listening to Is Good with John Hirschfield. That's me. And my guest today is Telegenetic. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Alberto. I'm keyboards and programming.
And I'm Vox. And I do the singing and we write the music and lyrics together.
Excellent. So tell me, let's talk about the genesis of Telegenetic, the name. I know you guys are brand new. You just started, a little over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about that process. How do you guys know each other in the first place?
Well, it's pretty interesting. Actually, I had a radio show on another station a few years ago, and Alberto's mother called me up for a psychic reading. How's that? And then we became friends and started hanging out, and one thing led to the other.
And you have a background. Your name is Vox?
Yeah, Vox. V-O-X-X, as they say, neither X is silent. And that kind of thing. But
And you have a background in psychic reading?
Yeah, I've been doing psychic readings my whole life. I come from a family of really well-known psychics. I'm not gypsies, you know, nothing against gypsies, but like people who are into real serious metaphysics and, you know, Kabbalah before it was cool and all that kind of weird stuff.
Before Tarot. It was trendy.
Yeah, I was there before Madonna.
Cool, cool. And, you know, did that sort of naturally bleed into your music, or did music come separately?
Well, I was always psychic as a little kid and stuff, but I just thought everybody else, you know, knew the same stuff. It's pretty much like, you know, like an M. Night Shyamalan, you know, I talk to dead people. You know, I just thought everybody else did too. You know, the weird thing with me is they just talk back, you know, so.
Wow.
But, and then I would like hear a lot of music in my head, and then I would just, my mother bought a piano, and I remember coming home from the swimming pool one day and just sitting down and playing Over the Rainbow with two hands. And I had never touched a piano. I was like, wow, this is good. Okay, I like this. And I just started writing songs since the age of about seven. And of
course, that's encouraging.
They sucked, but hey.
Alberto, tell me about how you came into this.
Well, you know, I come from mostly like a film and, you know, film and photography background. And, you know, once we started hanging out together, you know, the whole poetry thing started evolving and, you know, we were writing a lot of poetry and sharing it with each other. And, you know, one day, you know, I showed her a poem I had called Chemical Venus. And it seemed like it kind of struck a chord. And it evolved into a song. And next thing we knew, we were, like, writing, like, song after song, like, a few songs a night, practically. And so it was kind of unstoppable from there. And, you know, and that's kind of, like... And it's funny because, you know, I was never really like classically trained or anything, but I always, you know, I always felt like I wanted to do something creative and something, you know, and even though it's music, I still find it like it's visual, you know, like we try to find like a visual aspect to the song.
Well, you hear that from a lot of electronic artists, actually. I mean, that's all, you know, because the nature of creating electronic music is you're looking at images and you're moving them around and you're placing them. And that's one of the things I love about electronic music is, you know, I want the beat to be there, and once I put it there, that's where it is. You know, it doesn't have that same kind of live element. It's more like it is more like painting a picture.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, oh, you know, and sometimes it's kind of like constructing, and you have to find your own sounds, and so it's really kind of fascinating and fun. And working with her is so great because she's so talented. So.
And had you always been doing electronic music before?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, we've been pretty much playing with that. We never really got into many other genres. We dabbled a little bit with Brazilian music and some form of, you know, Brazilian electronic music, but
it's because you're from Brazil.
Yeah, I'm originally from Rio, so that's kind of where we come from. Also, my family also has a music background, though. You know, like my grandfather, who passed away last year, he was a very influential electronic music pioneer from the 50s, and you know, he was like kind of like in the whole avant-garde of music for a long time. So I come from that background, even though, you know, I hope to represent, but I'm still learning.
What kind of equipment are you working on?
Well, you know, obviously the Pro Tools and Logic and Reason and all kinds of, you know, weird stuff and weird little instruments we find and weird sounds. We do we record a lot of our own, like, sounds, you know, kind of like Matmos, you know, like where they'll find like sounds and they'll record and use it as beats. So it's kind of the general idea of what we do.
And do you guys play out live?
Yeah, we just started doing that. Our first gig was like November 17th. We were played the Jeff Buckley Memorial tribute, and we had a great time doing that. So we're getting some other live players to make it more dynamic, you know, live. It's, you know, it's great. You can do it by yourself, and it's really wonderful and all that, but there's something about live musicians that really makes it happen. I mean, we didn't decide to be electronic musicians, per se. It's like that was the equipment that we had. I mean, I play guitar and bass and keyboards and all this other stuff, but it's like you can't beat it for the control, you know, for, like, getting exactly, like you said, what you want when you want it. And then get some other people to, like, put their input into it. So that's what we're doing now. So we're really looking forward to playing with a full band.
Well, you have a treat for us today. We haven't done, I've had some live acoustic rock in here and some folk, and I've had a lot of electronic artists in here, but we've only played off a CD, and you're actually going to sing live for us today.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. You ready to go into a song?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm terrified, but...
Excellent. Well, this is the place to be terrified. This is killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good. My guest is Telegenetic, and Vox is going to sing us a song. What's the name of the song?
Reply Replica.
Okay, hopefully the mixer won't let me down on this. We're gonna play from CD, and she's going to sing along with it. So here we go, folks. Telegenetic on Is Good on killradio.org.
Distress signals alert me to myself. Awaking me signals distorting, messages corrupting me. Alert me, alert me. Reply, replica. Before, cut my white trash. Crash my program, crash my system. Do you remember me? Serial number 23. Distress signals convert me. Reply, replica. Before, cut my wires, trash my program, crash my system. Do you remember me before I was alive? Before I knew how to cry, do you remember who I belong to? If your hands made me, distress.
That was it, folks. Telegenetic on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. Vox, that was beautiful.
Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful.
Appreciate that. That was a first.
Yeah.
Live singing over electronica on the radio.
Well, really? That was also the premiere of that song, so...
Tell me a little bit about that song. It's called Replica Reply. There's obviously a lot of metaphors comparing people to machines, and I think that's kind of a running theme in a lot of your music. How, you know, talk about that a little bit, about us being mechanical and what that means, how that inspires you.
Well, basically, this is one of the first songs that we wrote when we got together, and Alberto came up with this just absolutely bone-crushingly sad poem that just blew my mind, and it's like... We just had to make it into a song. And we didn't consciously decide, oh, yeah, let's get this idea about people being machines and, like, you know, Arthur Kessler kind of references the ghost of the machine and all that. But as a psychic, too, you recognize that people are programmed, you know. And we're talking about getting inside a person and find out what's making them automatic. Why do we just, you know, resort to these games and these automatic reactions? Why don't we go in there and figure out what's causing this distress? And I love that line that he wrote, distress signals, you know, messages corrupting me. Just feeling like you're at the mercy of who's ever at the other end of the, you know, control panel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you get to that?
Also, I think, you know, a lot of it is, we're also trying to find, like, new ways of communicating, expressing, you know, kind of old ideas about love and breaking up, and there are like a lot of old themes, but you know, just finding new ways of expressing it. And you know, as she said, we weren't like trying to go for this kind of world, but you know, each song becomes like its own world and its own story and with its own set of characters almost.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Reply Replica, you know, is definitely about, you know, this robot falling in love and being so distraught over, you know, over what happened with the relationship, that the robot just wants to, like, disconnect, basically. Just wants to destroy itself.
Yeah, we can all... I'm sure we can all identify with that. I mean, we're all... It's actually... I mean, it's a very functional metaphor. Robots in love. I mean, it's... Yeah. Definitely. I can't think of how anyone wouldn't be able to identify with an idea like that. And, you know, we all write about the human experience, and especially when you're doing music that is... so tied to technology like you are, then that's a really functional theme for you. By the way, if anybody listening wants to instant message me or Vox or Alberto, our AOL instant messenger handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. And I want to ask you guys something else. What is the end game for you? What is success for you in terms of your music? Are you looking for a wide distribution, a cult following? What is the future of telegenetic?
Well, I think as an artist, I think it's ridiculous to say you don't want people to be affected by it. So I do think distributing your art and letting it be heard by as many people as possible, that's the great thing. And if people, you know, choose to listen to it, that's great. So you can get it out. So the end game for us would be really, you know, selling a lot of, you know, songs, you know, either through the internet or through our CDs. You know, to me right now, this is a huge success for us to actually have the opportunity to actually speak to people that are listening out there. I mean, we're already successful in my head because we're doing the music that we want to do. But as far as commercially, yeah, I would like to tour the world, play for millions of people, you know, world
millions.
Domination. Why not? What the hell? What the hell? If you're going to sing to one person, you may as well sing to a million. You know, so that's why I try to feel like, you know, every song that we write, to me, it has to be really important. Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least to me. I actually enjoy other people just spewing whatever the hell comes off their heads, and I enjoy it. But for me, it seems like I enjoy the process of crafting it, you know?
That's great. Let's listen to another track from your studio recordings. And we'll talk a little bit about the new CD you're working on and other things you're doing to get the word out about telegenetic. What track shall I play? All right, you're listening to Telegenetic on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. We're back on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org, and we're hanging out with Telegenetic. We're talking a little bit about how you want your music out there, and now let's talk about what you're going to do about it. I have in my hand a 6-track EP that you're working on, but you're also working on an album. Tell me a little bit about that process and what you're going to do with it.
Well, we've been recording nonstop pretty much now for the last while. We've got a whole bunch of songs that we want to finish, and so we want to put the album out as well. People put out the EPs, and I think those are great, but since we already have the songs, we may as well just put the next 4 on there and get it out.
And you're going to release this yourself at first?
Yeah, we're releasing it on our own label right now called Tetragrammophone for all the little punsters out there.
And is there anywhere people can buy your music currently? Or I know, is there a way to download it? I know you have it on your website.
We have it on our website.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have some clips on our website, telegenetic.com. And, you know, people can listen to it. And also, you know, they can also listen to it on our MySpace, you know, myspace.com/telegenetic. And I think in a pretty short while, you know, send us an email if you dig us, and then we'll keep you keep you posted, and we should have downloads pretty soon. And cause that's probably the fastest way for people to get access to our songs would be downloads. And then you know, we'll probably be taking pre-orders on some of our CDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can pre-order it on the MySpace page, I think.
Cool. Tell me a little bit about telegenetic.com. It is hands down, I mean, it's one of the coolest websites for a band that I've seen in a long time. And Alberto, you made that yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I designed it mostly, and obviously Vox was there to help me with it. And, you know, I mean, we just really wanted something that was kind of atmospheric. And
it's so interactive. That's what I love about it. You know, it's not just like, oh, here's our information. It really makes you want to click and look at stuff.
Yeah. And there's kind of like this whole, like, kind of 18th century, like, technology vibe to it, you know,
like
time machine kind of thing going on. And there's even a little game we made. And so, you know, I think people should go check it out and have fun with it. It's kind of fun. And
I imagine it took you a long time to put that together.
Yeah, I mean, designing it took a while, but, you know, hopefully it'll have future versions as well, you know, so we should be updating it more constantly in the future.
And do you have like a newsletter or a mailing list on it or anything like that?
Right now, I don't think we have one on the website, but people can send us an email and then we'll keep them posted and we'll add them as we go.
I have to say, you're a true electronic musician because your vocalist keeps pointing you to the microphone and you keep turning away from it. It's great.
It's like, talking to outer space.
Vox, you're going to treat us to another vocal performance?
Yeah, this is fun. I like this.
Fantastic. Very excited. What's the name of this song that we're going to play?
It's called Hack.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you the story about it later.
Okay. You're listening to Telegenetic on Is Good.
System memories password cannot access me. I love the heart is being out. No how to attack. I love the heart is being out. No how to attack. Something's inside me, beside
It's mentioned on your website that the word haunting, and that's the best word I can come up with to describe that last song as well.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about Hack. What is that song about?
Well, Hack, the original inspiration was I had met this person like quite a while ago.
You should probably not mention any names.
Actually, I probably could. He'll probably like it. Well, actually, I'll make a rune out of it. But he literally was the world's first superstar hacker. And I bumped into him on Sunset, not knowing who he was one day. And I thought, oh, this guy's really, he's interesting. And all of a sudden, I realized what made him interesting is he had all this blood gushing out of his face. I was like, oh my God. Yes. Upon closer examination, I tried to help him out.
That wasn't very psychic of you, was it?
Yeah, exactly. I was having an off day. You know? I was like, oh, this guy's cute, but it's really blood. But anyway, so I befriended him and I tried to help him. See, the sirens are out there to back up my story. But anyway, he didn't know who he was. So I tried to help him figure out who he was, and we helped him get home and everything. And then I just thought it was rather odd that he was locked out of his house, and so he took out a lock and pick and broke into his own house. That was kind of the first sign that this was a strange person. So we go into his house, and he had all these computers and phones and wires, and there was like nothing else in the house.
I think that's the definition of irony, right? A computer hacker that has to pick a lock to his house.
Exactly. Exactly. But apparently what he was doing was like, you know, stealing stuff from the phone company, trying to make it, you know, people could call long distance for free. So he's this kind of rebel guy. But anyway, so it was about, basically, he was the first inspiration, you know, the first superstar hacker. You could look him up. He's online. He served some time in prison, and then he got out. And now he works for the government, as usual.
But meeting him inspired you to write the song?
It inspired the memory of it. And then the basic aspect of the part of the song is really God is the ultimate hack. You know, your lover can be, like, the hack. You want that person to enter you and mess with your code, you know, and touch you all over and like reconfigure your console and all that. And as a person who produces and stuff, I'm sure you can enjoy that, you know, feeling of being God, of like letting somebody, you know, hack into your system. It could be the ultimate surrender, you know. Not that people should do it, of course. Just write songs about it.
Are you condoning hacking?
Yes, just not my site.
No, but I mean, it is true. I mean, when you get into a relationship with someone, I mean, both of you have this objective at hand, which is to try and get into this person's head. You know, not what have they told you, but what are they really thinking? You know, it's not I love you, but what do they really feel? And for those of us that haven't been gifted with psychic abilities, it really is a lot like, you know, just trying to break in or crack some code. So that's a good metaphor. Tell me about the name, telegenetic. I mean, I assume the tele part comes from telepathy.
You'd
think.
Is
that a guess? Yes.
We were just like,
it's a good guess, actually.
Yeah.
No, see, you're psychic now.
It's rubbing off.
We were just like, we love to play with words and invent new words. And we'll just go off on some crazy tangent, you know. And I just blurted out, telegenetic. And as a pun on telegenic, you know. And you know, like you have beautiful genes. Like not only do you look good, but your genetic code is looking really good too. So then it's stuck.
But the funny thing is that it's become an actual science as well. You know, with
telegenetics.
Yeah, I mean, when we came up with it, it was like something that had barely even been talked about, and apparently now it's some kind of a study of the. It's a long distance study of DNA, and it has to do with like the breakdown of DNA when you go through a black hole. So it's like, I mean, how that relates to music beats me, but
that'll work. Cool. Yeah, why not?
You know, so it's actually becoming a real science now. So we'll see where that goes 10 years from now.
So what about collaborations? Are you guys, pretty tight and you just lock yourselves in the studio, or do you bring in outside performers or vocalists to help you with some tracks?
No, not so far. Not so far. Not that we wouldn't. But, of course, I have to sing with Tom York at least once in this life. Yeah, I have to do that. And hear Johnny Greenwood in there somewhere, or Johnny Marr. You know, we're open to collaborating with people. Mm-hmm. You know, we just are stuck in our little cocoon, so they'd have to kind of find us, I guess.
And pry us out of our cocoon. But, yeah. I mean, I think for the most part, I mean, obviously, you know, she's the singer, so I don't know if we would need any, you know, any other singers, but
I want to have some like a chorale behind me.
Uh-huh.
A live gig. Seriously, I'm totally gonna do that.
Or like three girls in poodle skirts.
Why not? What the hell? It's showbiz after all.
Doo-wop.
This highbrow crap. You know, I love voices. You know, I love, like, there's that moment when you have like that one note and you have all these resonance behind you, and it's like, yeah, I like that. So yeah, we were totally open to collaborating with people. We've written some songs for some friends and that kind of thing. We write a lot of different styles too.
I was just going to ask you about that.
See,
talk about your
psychic.
Yeah. Seriously though, about your range of music, a lot of electronic acts, they sort of they narrow themselves down to one particular kind of sound that they really excel at, and they stick to that. And that's wise. A lot of times when they go out of that, you know, people reject it. Oh, this isn't, you know, this particular kind of drum and bass or something like that. So most of the music that I've heard from you guys is, I would describe it as trip hop, lounge, electronica. But talk about that, about pushing boundaries and doing different styles. Is that something that interests you, or are you trying to get a telegenetic sound?
Oh, no. I think if you do it right, your sound finds you and forces you to, like, squeak it out. Mm-hmm. We didn't go, okay, let's sound like this. You know, and because I have a really interesting background as well, like a lot of, you know, gospel music. I have some people in my family from the Deep South, and I can sing the hell out of gospel. And I can sing blues and jazz, all this stuff. But who cares? You know, that's already been done. But this other stuff, like, hasn't been done. So you try to, like, focus your voice, you know, in some kind of way that makes it, you know, understandable, like that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some new stuff that's coming out that is pretty much like Tupac Shakur meets Peggy Lee. We like these disparate
interesting
conjunctions, you know, of stuff. Smooth, beautiful vocals with some really cool, nasty beats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try desperately. The one thing I do try is to not use blues scales as much as possible in this kind of music, because it's too easy.
Hmm.
You know, and I think you just try to, like, focus. You know,
focus, really clean kind of sound.
Yeah, keep it clean. Like, you know, Peggy Lee, Julie London, Emma Sumac. You know, some really outrageous people who had really beautiful voices. I really aspire to sound pleasing. I can sound really rock, but who cares? There's other people to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, tell me, have you had any formal vocal training?
Yeah, I have. I've studied opera and all kinds of stuff and a lot of breath technique. And I really take singing really seriously, you know. That's the other thing, doing a radio show for me, it found, like, really damaged my vocal cords. Because you have to just decide what you want in life. You can do a lot of different things, but as a vocalist, I would like people to be soothed by my voice. I'd like mm-hmm. them to, like, enjoy this kind of sound. The sounds that I like to hear.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I feel the same way. I've always been drawn to, I mean, I've been listening to electronic music since I was, like, 7. And I've always been drawn to the vocals, the vocalists who just had these very very smooth, very clear sound to them, like, you know, like they're speaking to me. You know, I was hanging on desperately to electronica when the grunge movement came around, you know, you know, like in high school, you know, it's like 1993. I'm listening to like Information Society before they broke up, you know, and Pearl Jam's like really popular at the moment. And, you know, those are all really talented musicians. But yeah, but that's sort of the harsh. There are people that do that, and they're singing to people who want to hear that. But it's almost like it's becoming more increasingly rare to just someone to just sing with an open throat, with full breath, you know, with, you know, from their heart, from their diaphragm, as my acting teacher would say, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, you know, different kinds of art, you know.
And certain things, I mean, certain styles work for certain songs too. I mean, you know, we're doing this, you know, we're big fans of Jeff Buckley. And, you know, this one song we've been doing of his called So Real, you know, I mean, it still has that kind of telegenetic sound, but, you know, it's a little bit more gutsy. Mm-hmm. And that seems to really work well, you know, and sound really great. So,
well, tell me about some of your other influences, both electronic and vocal.
Who do I like? Well, you know, people started saying that we sounded like people like Portishead before I had actually really sat down to listen to them. But I like their music, like Massive Attack. I love Bjork. I love Radiohead. I love the Smiths. I just love them. I love great pop music. I love the Monkees. I like bad pop music. I like the Archies. I like the extremes of like any kind of music, you know, like Jazzuka music and then like, you know, Broadway stuff. I love Elisa Gina and Tom Jobim and Milton Nascimento. Just people that are really lyrical. It's not so much if they're electronic or whatever, mm-hmm. but if they're really heartfelt, you know.
And Alberto, on a more, what are some of your influences on an instrumental level?
Well, I mean, a lot of that, you know, what she mentioned, you know, electronically speaking, you know, is a lot of like the trip hop stuff that came out, and you know, like Portishead and, you know, down tempo stuff. But you know, I think what really kind of, even though like we don't sound like them, the one band that for me has made the biggest impact on me has been Radiohead, you know. And it's just, I think it was the way that they blended their, you know, their sounds with their lyrics and the singing, you know. I mean, they weren't afraid to like make really melodic music, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's what we're striving to do, is not just make like something you can dance to, but something you can also sing to, and something you can really follow and have fun with as well. So it's kind of like a combination of all those different elements, which I think Radiohead, for us at least, encapsulated the best.
You know? And then, of course, I came home one day with a 50 Cent album and freaked him out completely. And Eminem saved my life, inspired me, you know.
Well, on a scale of, I'm curious, on a scale of like fun to serious, so where do you guys place yourselves? Are you just having a good time, or is this work, or is it somewhere in between?
It's like a passion, and we're just not going to stop doing it, you know, no matter what. If the universe decides to pay our rent with it, we're going to still do it, forget it. So we're serious about it, you know. And if that's work, then we're working it.
Awesome.
I don't think you should do anything you don't love anyway.
You know, Noam Chomsky said that...
love that guy.
What is it? He said, all labor is intrinsically forced labor.
Left
to our own devices, we wouldn't be doing it, and we wouldn't call it labor.
Yeah, on that level, I would just continue doing music. He's my MySpace friend, Noam Chomsky.
He has a MySpace page?
Yes, I'll have to send it to you.
No, I mean, I've read all his books, and he's obviously very popular on anti-corporate nonprofit Kill Radio.
I'll send you the link, man. You got to have Noam on the front page. It's good.
That's hilarious. I actually made a song. He's on one of the CDs I gave you. I took a lecture of his and I mixed it into an acid house tune. It's
pretty funny.
He'd
probably dig it. You should send him a copy, man.
Wow. Wow. Okay, well, I'll leave it up to you. Should we listen to another recorded studio track, or would you like to sing us another song before
we
go?
Sing So Real?
No, I don't want to sing. Let's do Megahertz.
Okay. Let's do one. Sing one more.
Okay.
We'll do track 4.
All right. So one more song from Telegenetic on Is Good with John Hirschfield. on killradio.org. That's it, folks. That was Telegenetic. You've been listening to Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. Vox, Alberto, thank you so much for coming in, both of you.
Obrigado.
De nada. You guys are awesome. I think you're going to I'm looking forward to hearing some more music.
Yeah, we got it.
And keep us updated when the new album is coming out.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah. Everybody should go check out www.telegenetic.com. Take care. Suspense.